people in their entirety has to be in the hands of the central government, which represents them. Another major breach. The other major breach, the Peshmergas, which have been financed by the central government, and the Peshmerga, which have seized the weapons, the main weapons of the old Iraqi army, should have handed those weapons to the new Iraqi army under the control of the Americans and under the supervision of the Americans, which have went out of the way to bolster the authority
of the Kurds. Let me stop
they have
you because
handed
Dr.
over
Haji,
those weapons to the
Dr.
Kurds.
Haji
and on top of
to,
that...
Dr. Haji wants to come back to you. Sorry, Zayed Alisa. Dr. Haji, I see the expression on your face. Go ahead.
Well, I think your guest actually devoid any meaning of federalism in Iraq. The features that he is mentioning for the government of Iraq is not a federal government. In fact, whatever he is mentioning is about monopolizing of all the authorities and power.
It's not. It's definitely not. What about foreign policy?
No longer exists.
You have no right to interfere in foreign policy.
We don't have a central government. This should be clear that we don't have a central government. We have a federal government, and key to federal government is sharing of power with regions. So Iraqi
not foreign policy. Foreign policy is part and parcel of the duty of the central government. You should not have a separate foreign policy. And you shouldn't have an increasingly hostile foreign policy which goes contrary to the foreign policy of the government. You have been forging alliances with hostile countries against the foreign interest of the Iraqi government. You have been forging alliances with Saudi Arabia, with Qatar, and forming a strategic alliance with Turkey in hostility.
Very well.
With
Let Dr. Haji then respond to you. Very well.
With the Iraqi government.
Zayed Alisa, hold on. Let Dr. Haji respond, please. Dr. Haji, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me finish. The key to federalism is share of power with regions. So the Constitution clearly says that the management of oil resources and other natural resources is a joint responsibility between the federal government and the regions. But the problem is this kind of concept, the concept of power sharing, is absent in our political dictionary, and this is I think behind what is happening in Iraq.
Well, let me ask you something, Dr. Haji, if I may come in. I apologize, Dr. Haji. Can I ask you a question here, please? I need to get your let me get your response on this, Dr. Haji. Were the Prime Minister, and I'm talking hypothetically speaking, if the Prime Minister of Iraq was to get changed, the Parliament convened, and they are going to come up with that voting. Would the Kurdistan Regional Government then be open to more cordial relations with the central government and actually retract from their positions right now in Kirkuk? Were there to be a new prime minister again, hypothetically speaking?
Well, I'm not in a position to talk on behalf of the KRG and president of the.
I've already said it.
I'm
not going to hand over territory.
To answer hypothetical questions is usually problematic because this is a hypothetical thing. I think, according to what I hear today from President Barzani,
well, I was trying to figure out if the problem here is the Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Let me come to Zayed Alisa, Dr. Haji. Zayed Alisa, I need to ask a very important question regarding the way that Barzani has moved in to this area of Kirkuk. I mean, here we are, Iraq, in a crisis regarding these ISIL Takfiri terrorists. They're moving in, they're creating havoc, they're eating up territory. You would think that the Peshmerga would fight against them, and they have, but that would be the focus. Right now, it appears that the focus is going to be for these Peshmergas to fight against the central government of Nouri al-Maliki and their force and his forces.
Yeah, I mean,
instead of fighting the ISIL,
that proves,
it's putting the focus away.
Mean,
why is that?
Beyond a shadow of doubt. I mean, that proves beyond a shadow of doubt that the Kurdish regional government, headed by Masoud Barzani, were actually waiting for this to happen. They have been complicit, and they have been collaborating and coordinating with Turkey, which have basically assisted the ISIS, or the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They benefited from this invasion. They were waiting for it, and now they've taken advantage of the whole situation to actually to extend and enhance their grip on the disputed areas, namely Kirkuk. They've been waiting for that to happen, and they have taken advantage of that. They have not only condoned it, but they have colluded with the Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and they have not actually raised a finger to fight Al-Qaeda in Iraq, but they have been sharing now the new border with Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and there has been agreement. That agreement has been between the Al-Qaeda and Iraq, which have been reinvigorating, revitalized by all the arming, funding, logistical support, and actually paying salary to the Wahhabi Salafi mercenaries converging from Saudi Arabia, moving from Syria to Iraq, inside Iraq, to actually weaken and destabilize the central government in Iraq, to actually put or place new, new realities on the ground.
Give Dr. Haji a chance. Lisa, let's give Dr. Haji a chance for a response. Dr. Haji, your response, please. Go ahead.
Well, these are all accusations which we don't, your guest is not able to give us enough evidences for all these accusations.
No, there is enough evidence. The reality is on the ground.
Having plotted against the Iraqi government, having relationships with terrorists, all these things actually need, from my point of view, needs to be proven by evidences, which we are not sure about the evidence.
So why didn't Al-Qaeda move against the Kurdish region? Why didn't it actually launch attacks against the Kurdish region?
Dr. Haji, go ahead.
Can you give us an answer?
Very simply because there are people who are defending their territories. Very simply because there is a forces, local forces, national forces who are defending the territories of Kurdistan. They did not collapse as, for instance, others did. And this is
what if the situation was turned around?
Answers,
at this point, Dr. Haji, do you realize that the KRG is inviting Maliki with a collision course? At this point, the scenario has been set. What if Maliki comes in and tries to take over, for example, Kurdistan? I mean, you know, this is asking, it's inviting for some type of collision to take place between KRG and the central government. Don't you see it that way by what KRG has done regarding Kirkuk?
Well, I think an outright divorce has not happened yet in Iraq. Still, according to what I have heard, still there are some prospects for negotiations for all this thing. But the thing is, there should be, according to according to the argument from KRG, there should be new basis for cooperation and coordination between the Kurdistan region and the federal government. I think this new basis are about settling or putting an end for the long-term dispute over management of natural resources, the dispute over disputed territories. I think these new bases, which are in fact kind of preconditions from the KRG side for future negotiations and future coordination with the federal government.
Well, that's a good question. Since we're quickly running out of time, that I need to ask Zaida Lisa. Zaida Lisa, where is this going to be going at this point, given the fact that the KRG has moved in?
I think we can be hopeful.
Well, I'll tell you where things are going. I mean, the Americans know it. The Kurds, they have been coordinating and collaborating with. There is a new strategic alliance between the Kurds and the Turks in order to actually make the Kurdish regional government more viable, more independent, have its own resources. Now what the Kurds want, they want actually to continue to actually have people in high prominent positions to, like the president, like the foreign minister, who happens to be the uncle of Barzani, who have been in power for 8 years, to actually rule other parts of Iraq, while the central government has no say in the way things have been managed in Kurdistan. Masoud al-Barzani has been acting and has been leading an independent country in all but name. He has been traveling the world, showing off and actually giving the impression that he is leading a totally independent country. He has been going to the States, adamantly refusing that the Americans arm the Iraqi army.
Let me give and Dr. Haji
robbing the
30
Iraqi
seconds.
Army
Dr. Haji, 30 seconds. Your response,
Iraqi army,
to Zayed
leaving
Al-Issa.
The weapons and running
in 30
away.
Seconds. Dr. Haji, go ahead.
Well, there are two things. First of all, the diplomatic although I'm not an expert in this area, the diplomatic relations of KRG has been organized by the Iraqi constitution, and within the Iraqi embassies across the world, there are, in some of these embassies, there are sections for Kurdistan region, which is responsible of the diplomatic relations of KRG. This is part of the story. The second part of it.
That's why it has an independent foreign policy.
Diplomatic relations.
A totally independent foreign policy.
Authorities here in Kurdistan region with the other countries has not been like diplomatic relations of a sovereign state with others.
Okay,
in fact,
unfortunately, I got to come in. I got to come in since we're just out of time.
In fact,
thank you very much. Let me thank our guests from London, Zayed Al-Issa, Iraq Affairs expert, spoke to us.
And
from Erbil, we're listening to Dr. Haji. He's a professor at the Saladin University. Thank you very much for tuning into another edition of The Debate. Repeat on this program on our website, otherw.presstv.com. From Mikhail Vitavoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.